Praise God.
The covenant keeping God. The covenant keeping God. Psalm 89. We're in the book of Psalms and chapter 89. And I'm going to take verse 20 and a few verses. And then I will continue where I stopped last week. The Lord speaking in Psalm 89 and in verse 20, he said, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Notice, holy oil. Holy oil. And David was anointed with God's holy oil in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it is interesting to note the events that characterized the life of David. He was anointed in chapter 16, just after chapter 15, where Saul was judged. Saul had messed up, and Samuel the prophet went to his house in 1 Samuel 15 and told him, after Saul had messed up big time, and Samuel even came to reprove him, and Saul had an attitude. I brought a word from the Lord, and Saul said to him, say on. I say what you got to say. All right? Stuff happens. It is what it is. Well, God said we should kill everybody, kill all the Amalekites, but we save some animals so we can use them for sacrifice. Is it bad to take some animals for sacrifice? Is it not sacrifice unto God? Like God told him that he was hungry. Samuel said, I have a word from the Lord. He said, say on. Say what you got to say. That's the attitude of some Christians also to their pastors. Say what you have to say. I'm going to live my life anyways. And you're not going to live my life for me. My life for me. And so God said through Samuel to Saul, I have found a neighbor of yours. I've given him the kingdom. When you were little in your own eyes, did I not exalt you? I say this prayer for you every now and then. I say it for myself. I had a conversation with my father and the Lord a few days ago, and he said the same thing, and I was laughing. In my heart, I was listening to him, and I was saying to myself, this is the exact prayer I've been praying for the Expression House. That in your own eyes, you will remain little. Okay, three people said amen because you don't understand the prayer. I will explain it. When you begin to become big in your own eyes, it is equal to pride. When you think now you are something, now you've achieved something, you have arrived. Pride is what gives you an exaggerated perception of your importance. When you have an exaggerated opinion of your importance, your perception is bloated. It is equal to pride. But when you remain little in your own eyes, even though people are singing your praise, people are talking about your achievements, people are saying, wow, God has done this through you. In fact, you are a great person. You are an achiever. You deserve accolades, etc. Listen to me. May you remain little in your own eyes. God sent Samuel to Saul to tell him, when you were little in your own eyes. Let's start from there. So it's Sunday service, it's also Bible study. 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. And I'm not in a hurry. I want to teach and preach at the same time. And go to verse 7. Okay, let's take it from, no, not verse 7. Go to verse 16. Verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, 1 Samuel 15 and verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee, I will tell you what the Lord has said unto me this night. And he said unto him, say on. Did you see that in your Bible? Now, Samuel was the same prophet that anointed Saul to be king over Israel. When Saul thought that he was not qualified to be king, Saul was the least in his father's lineage. His father's lineage was the least in the tribe of Benjamin. In fact, Saul felt so unqualified. Listen to me. That the day he was going to be anointed as king, he ran away and hid himself inside stuff, food stuff, where they kept food stuff. He hid himself in one of the bags because he didn't want to be anointed as king. He felt unworthy. He felt unqualified. Unqualified to pastor a church, unqualified to lead a family, unqualified to lead a ministry, unqualified to be doing all the things that you are doing. Saul felt like that. It was by the word of knowledge that he came to Samuel to know where he had been hiding. And they went to fish him out. And when they did that, Samuel anointed him to be king. And he anointed him in 1 Samuel chapter 10. And Samuel said to him, from verse 1, when you leave me today, see, when the anointing came on Saul, he became like another man. The anointing of God turns you into another person. You are no longer the same. Under the new covenant, when we talk about the anointing, we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. Can I have an amen? So it's no longer just the oil. Now, the presence of the Holy Spirit within and upon. And Samuel said to him, when you go from me today, he said, you will meet two men by the sepulcher of Rachel. Now, Rachel had died many, many years before. He was the wife of Jacob. You remember that story? And Rachel was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. Benjamin was the last born. He was the one coming out of the womb when Rachel gave up. And as Rachel was giving up, this was in a little way from Ephrath, Rachel said, Benoni. She named the boy Benoni, meaning son of sorrow. But instantly, Jacob was there. Jacob said, no, it's not going to be Benoni. It's going to be Benjamin. He changed the name from negative to positive. So Saul came from the lineage of Benjamin, the last born, the least of the tribes of Israel. And Saul felt that even though we are the least of the tribe, I'm even the least in my father's house. He was that unqualified to now become king over the 12 tribes of Israel? How do you mean? It's like taking the last born in the family and enthroning him as the firstborn, and everybody needs to bow before him. Yet, it pleased the Lord to do that. And this Saul now became a big boy. Saul became a big boy. And he was in control of the money, the finances, the wealth, the property, real estate, the women, the soldiers, everybody paid obeisance to him. To the point that God gave an instruction and Saul disobeyed the instruction of the Almighty God. Now, this Saul walked in the supernatural. When the anointing came on him, in that 1 Samuel chapter 10, and Samuel said to him, you will meet two men by the sepulcher of Rachel, where Rachel, your great-grandmother, grand-grand-grand-grandmother, was buried. Those two men will tell you where the asses are that you're looking for, because he went out looking for his father's lost asses. Those two men will tell you. Now you will move on from there. You meet another three men who are going to the hill of the Lord. One of them is carrying three kids, that is three animals. One of them carrying three loaves of bread, and the third person, a bottle of wine. And they will greet you, and then they will give you two loaves of bread. Take it from them. And then when you leave that place, you will come to the mountain of the Lord, the hill of the Lord, and you will meet a company of prophets. And the Spirit will come on you, and you will prophesy. And so Samuel said to him, when all these things happen, do as occasion serves you. Now, that's just to let you know that he had the opportunity to taste the supernatural. And when he came to the company of the prophet, as according to the words of Samuel, all of those things happened. He met the two men by Rachel's sepulcher. They told him where the asses were. He left them. He met the people going to the mountain of the Lord, and they gave him two loaves of bread, and they greeted him. And then he met the company of prophets. And when he came into the company of the prophets, the Spirit of God came upon him. The anointing came upon him. He had been anointed with oil, but the Spirit now came upon him. And Saul began to prophesy like one of the prophets. So he had the opportunity to taste the supernatural. Guys, watch out, watch out. Watch out when God begins to work in your life. All of you that shared testimony, listen to me real good. And those who didn't share, listen real good. When God begins to elevate you in life, that is when you need to be most careful. You need to be very careful. Because you can assume that things are happening for you because of your smartness. Things are happening in your life because you are smart, you are intelligent, and you are hardworking. That is the undoing of many businessmen. They say, I cut my deals. I know what I don't sleep. I walk round the clock, my friend. There are people that walk round the clock more than you do, and they have nothing to show for it. The blessing of the Lord, Proverbs 10:22, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrows to it. It is the blessing that makes you rich. And when the blessing begins to come upon your life, be careful how you behave. Go to verse 17. That first Samuel 15. We've just read verse 16. Saul said, say on. And in verse 17, Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel when you were little. Now, it didn't stop in the word little. He said, when you were little in your own eyes. You may be big in the eyes of people. God brings us promotion. All right? When God brings us promotion, we become magnified in the eyes of the people. That's fine. It's not your problem. God has elevated you. But listen, never be elevated in your own eyes. Remain little in your own eyes. So when people come with their accolades, you are quick to return the glory to God. It's not me, it's God. We give him all the praise. He's the one at work. Can I have an amen? Did you hear what I said this morning? If that's all you came to hear in church this morning, I am telling you that this virtue will bless you for many, many years to come. Now, Psalm 89, God then anointed. So, chapter 16, God anointed David. The psalmist now picked this up by the help of the Spirit. I found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact. Now listen to the benefits of the covenant. Because I have anointed him, my arm will strengthen him. Can somebody say amen to that? My hand shall establish him. Can you say amen to that? Now, the enemy shall not exact upon him. Say amen to that. Amen. Nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Say amen to that. Amen. No assassin will be able to take out your life. Because of the covenant. What I'm trying to achieve with this teaching series is to drive into your consciousness and into your subconscious level the awareness of the covenant that you have with God. When you have the awareness of the covenant that you have with God, it places you at an advantage in life. You have what is called the covenant advantage. Somebody say the covenant advantage. Part of them, he said, the son of wickedness will not be able to exact upon him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. Listen, and I will beat down his foes before his face. God says he's going to beat down your enemies before your face. So in other words, they may come against you, but God's going to beat them down. You won't have to do the beating. The covenant will beat them down. Are you with me, church? If you're with me, say an amen that is alive. Amen. And plague them that hate him. So it becomes dangerous to hate a man or to hate a woman that has a covenant with God. God said they hate you, I will plague them. A strange disease will come on them for hating you. Kai. Some of us should not be hated, though. You hate us at your own peril. Because this is God's word. And God's word will not fall to the ground. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. Amen. Amen. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. Say amen to that. And in my name shall his horn be exalted. In other words, in my name, his head is going to be promoted. Can I have an amen to that? Come on, say an amen that is alive. This season, God is in the business of promoting his children. Don't miss out, don't miss out, don't miss out, don't miss out. Your horn will be exalted. I mean, your horn will be exalted. Some of you think that you have seen promotion. You ain't seen nothing yet. That's why you should remain little in your own eyes. Because what you think is big, compared to what God has in store for you, if you see it, you will faint. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen your greatest bank account has not matched the tithe you are still going to pay. And I said that for the tithers. I've heard some of your testimonies, I've not seen your tithe. And I'm serious. People make little money, you are shouting all over the place. You haven't seen anything yet. What have you seen? What have you seen? Have you sown $1 million as a seed? Just to support God's work? Without missing it, it's going to happen in this church. Yeah. One of my friends in his church, some young guys sold their business. They sold their business to, I think, Microsoft or so at that time. It's been a couple of years now. They had these ideas and it was an IT kind of business. So they sold it. You know, when Microsoft buys your business or some of these other corporations, when they buy your business, one of them, when the money came, they shared it. All of the guys that, you know, that were running that business, they shared it. One of them was a member of the church of this friend and mentor of mine. He got $10 million. 10 million. And he paid a tithe of $1 million. Till today, that church has not remained the same. Even though the exchange rate today was not what it was then, even then. So, calm down. Don't become too big that we can't talk to you. You haven't seen anything yet. You still have change. Crumbs is what you have now. And God is getting you ready for a bigger breakthrough. Yeah. Can I have an amen? Yeah. I've seen God do it. And I know he will do it again. I was in a leadership conference where I was told a particular man of God in the U.S. who usually organizes, it's a global leadership program. The man that usually organizes it just shared a testimony casually that as he was preparing for the leadership summit, somebody dropped the check of $300 million. 300. So, what have we seen that you're not coming to Bible study? Encounter night, you won't come. You are too big. If you are too big for prayer, you are too small for exploits. The people I call my mentors are men of prayer. Men of the word and men of prayer. They are not orators. They are not motivational speakers. And I've seen raw results in their life. And I know it's only a matter of time and faith. Those of you who are praying, keep praying. Those of you who are studying the word and adding prayer to it, keep doing both. Keep coming to church, keep evangelizing, keep giving, keep sowing. There is a season for that. Harvest is coming. There is a season for harvest. You are in your sowing season now. Zero deposit will be zero withdrawal. A huge deposit is waiting for a bountiful harvest. When different seasons of our lives. If you don't pray now, when will you pray? When you get married and you are encumbered with marital problems or marital issues? I think young people should love to pray. Young people should love the word of God. This is the time you build stamina for the future. If you are not exercising, you won't be fit. That you are slim does not mean you are fit. Because some people think that only big people should go to the gym. Slim people are already fit. My friend, that you are slim does not mean you are fit. And that you are big does not mean you are fit. You become fit. You achieve fitness through exercise, through the discipline of exercise. For you to be spiritually fit, therefore, get into the spiritual gym. The least that any of us should pray per day is 1 hour in the Holy Ghost. Tomorrow afternoon, every Monday, 3 to 5 p.m., we are here sweating, praying the Holy Ghost for 2 hours. No prayer point, just praying the Holy Ghost. 5:30 every Friday to 7:30, we are at the ICC, praying the Holy Ghost. Thursday, we are here, pray for a few minutes, we worship, then we get into the Word. This is how you develop spiritual muscle. The days will come. They come to every man. When what you think you know will be tested. When your spiritual strength will be put on trial. When your pastor's phone will not be reachable because it's out of the country. Your bestie will not be available. When you need to confront the devil yourself and claim your victory. What is our place in the new covenant? I'll make it very simple. The day anyone comes to Christ, the day anyone gives their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that day you enter into a covenant relationship with God. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, then Hebrews 13, 20. This covenant is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. This covenant is ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those of you that were here a couple of weeks ago, I showed you the covenant that Abraham cut with God and how, number one, he used animals. And then number two, they had to also take off the foreskin of their equipment. They had to be circumcised. And that became the token of the covenant, all right? But in the new covenant, what does it mean actually to enter into a covenant with God? Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, the Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, like they did under the old covenant, but by his own blood, by the blood of Jesus, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Jesus entered into the holiest of all and obtained eternal redemption for us. For us. So if you have received, the moment you receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, you already have eternal redemption through his blood. Can I have an amen? It has to be by the blood. Now, Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Not blood of animals, but by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now the Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Bible describes the blood of Jesus as the blood of the everlasting covenant. This covenant does not expire. It's an everlasting covenant. But then what ratifies it, what makes it valid, is the blood of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Now, Paul the Apostle picked this up in the realm of the Spirit when he wrote in Galatians. Let's go to Galatians 3. I'll do some teaching and then I'll go on very quickly because I'm going back to David. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 and a few verses which I'll show you. 13, 14. Galatians 3, 13, 14. Says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Been made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? Why did it become a curse in our place? So that, verse 14 may happen. So that the blessing of, now notice the blessing, not the blessings. There is no S at the back. This is spiritual. This is not material or physical. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, we are the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? So he took our place so that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. It is wrong. That song that says Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are not yours. Abraham's blessings were his tent, his canopies, his sheep, his cows, his cattle, his silver and gold. Do you know where they are today? Come on, talk to me, church. Do you know where they are today? Nobody knows. Except our anthropologist, Moi, people like that who can dig it up and tell us the story, the history of when it was buried. Nobody knows. So what the Bible says we have are not the blessings of Abraham. What we have is the blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing that God swore to him when he was walking through the blood of those animals. And God was telling him, in blessing, I will bless you, multiplying, I will multiply you, I will make your name great, and through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? To be blessed means to be empowered to succeed. Listen to me. To be empowered to rise above the curse. To be empowered to do well in life. And I pray for you. I know it. If you're in Christ, you're already blessed. Can I have an amen? Amen. If you're in Christ, you are already empowered to be the head and not the tail. So when you go in for an election, you should win. It's not your fault, it's who you are. When you go in for an examination, you should pass. You know why? Because you are blessed. What does it mean to be blessed? Not to have money. Money is just a part of it. It means you're already empowered. Empowered to do well. Go to verse 16. Same chapter. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, he did not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What does that mean? When God was cutting covenant with Abraham, God didn't just make the promises to Abraham alone. He made it also to his seed. You see, God will refer to that, and to your seed after you. Have I made this covenant that I will bless you, I will multiply you, I will make your name great, and through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, not just to you, but also I'm making these promises to your seed. Somebody say seed. Now, there is no S at the back. That's what Paul was saying. Paul said, God did not make the promises to Abraham's seeds. He made the promises to Abraham and to his seed, singular. And don't think that was Isaac. That was Christ. Can I have an amen? So, how do we come into this covenant? Same chapter. And go to verse 24. Verse 24. Same chapter. Verse 24. Wherefore, now your monitor is not working anymore. What happened to all the screens? Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by what? How do we get justified? By what? By faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Glory to God. For ye are all the children of who? Come on, look at your Bible. For ye are all the children of who? Of God. How? By faith. In Christ Jesus. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Meaning, the day I put my faith in Jesus, I became a child of the Most High God. Can I have an amen? Amen. So if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. Somebody say, I am a child of the Most High God. Is one of the best things that can happen in anybody's life to be called a child of the Most High God. I may not be the child of the president. You know the way the children of the president carry themselves with class and dignity. And you can't come near them. My father is the president. Like, we're this president now, he has a son that is all over the place in everybody's face. And like, what you gonna do? His father goes abroad to have meetings, he goes with him. He's my daddy. Imagine you are the governor's son. There's a way you carry yourself. You have escort around you. You want to go and play football in UI. All the students are harassed because they can see people carrying guns and everything just because the president, the governor's son wants to play volleyball or basketball. But listen to me, all of those are inferior compared to being a child, listen, of the Most High God. If your father is president today, I can guarantee you in 10 years' time, he's not going to be president. Maximum is 8 years, 2 terms. Your father is governor today, maximum 8 years. When your daddy leaves office, you will be referred to as the son of the ex-president. They'll put ex before your father's name or title. Ex-governor, ex-chairman. But nobody will have the opportunity to put ex before God. Did you hear what I said? Nobody voted him in. Nobody will vote him out. And I am so glad to be a child of his forever. Eternally, he is my God. Eternally, he is my father. Eternally, I am his son. He's my very own father. I'm his very own son. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, do you think when trouble comes, he will show up for me? Will your daddy show up for you when trouble comes? Go to verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, no, don't jump. Let's go back. Verse 26 says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. I love this, man. Come on. There is neither Jew nor Greek. You know, the Jewish people have this mentality. They feel superior to every other race. You know why? Because they know they have been taught by their parents. They have a covenant with Yad-Heh Vav-Heh. They have a covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the Jewish man, if he does business with you, he's going to beat you big time if you're his competitor. Because he's riding on the covenant. I've been to a few countries. I can tell you something about the Jews. They live in the richest places. The richest places. That's where they live. I've seen them in London. I've seen them in America. Jewish people live good. In fact, a friend of mine in America told me that when a child is born in the U.S. into a Jewish family, all the Jewish families across America will send a dollar each. They will contribute as a gift to the child, $1. Imagine if let's say, for example, 5,000 families. Let's say 1,000 families send $1. That would be $1,000 for a baby. And they know how to invest. Invest that in 18 years' time. When it is handed over to the baby, the guy is already born rich. Are you getting what I'm saying? An American preacher asked a Jewish man, I've said that before, I'll say it again. How come you're so rich? The Jewish man said, I don't understand what you mean. He said, how come you're so wealthy? I still don't understand your question. The man said, okay, now, you are the owner of this company. He said, yes. That company, he said, yes. That company, he said, yes. Each of them is doing well, having a turnover of millions of dollars. He said, yes. How come you've been able to do all of that, to amass that kind of wealth? You know what the Jewish man said to him? He said, because I'm a Jew. Like, seriously? Don't you understand that when you're a Jew, you're rich? Because in the thinking, and I'm going to go to that next week. In the thinking of a Jewish man, you cannot separate being Jew from being prosperous. The moment you are Jew, you are prosperous. Did you get that? Like some people look at us Nigerians, and they cannot separate being Nigerian from being a scammer. So they misjudge us, even those of us that are good people. Nigeria is a good country. We only have a few bad eggs destroying the reputation of this country. Generally, Nigerians from the north to the south to all the 6 geopolitical zones are naturally kind people. That's why a Nigerian would travel, and you travel to a state where you have never met anybody before, and you get to sleep in somebody's house who has never met you before. They will even feed you. They'll give you dinner. In spite of the security challenges we have, there are still families doing that today. Because it's in us. Scamming is not in us. And all the scammers will be exposed and disgraced and jailed in the name of Jesus. Oh, Nibombe. The green passport today is not respected. When you go abroad, the way they treat you, when they see you with the green passport. That's why Nigerians are doing everything possible to just get another passport. It's not their fault. It's because of the way you're treated. One of my cousins, who is a British citizen, traveled to Ireland Ireland with his Nigerian passport one day. He just chose to not travel with British. And he flew to Ireland, and the moment they saw his passport, they asked him to step aside. Every other person with British passport, US passport, they were allowing them to go. They didn't know he was British. So he asked the person that stopped him, "Why did you stop me?" He said, "Well, just step aside." And he knew why. He took that guy up. But you can't blame the guy. It is the image of our country that they have projected abroad. America is smarter than us today because they know how to think and they know how to present their own image. What you see on TV is corporate America. When you get to the real America, you will be shocked. I was in a place in Atlanta, Georgia. I was asking myself, is this America? We don't see this on TV, man. Except in some gangster movies where they show you the ghetto and the trenches. Because that's what they like to do. But corporate America, no, is all the high-rise buildings and all the skyscrapers. You press a button, something, the elevator opens up, and then so you find everything's cute. But when they want to do a documentary on Africa, they go to the interior, they go to our villages where children are wearing t-shirts that are torn, and they're hungry, and they're eating with their bare hands, and they say, "Oh, this is Africa." And they say to them, to their kids in America, they say, the kids in Africa, people in Africa sleep on trees. Do they sleep on trees? You're from Africa? No, we don't sleep on trees, baby. The Jewish people understand their covenant with God. That's why they keep doing well. But the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. Can I have an amen? I'm so excited. Whatever a Jewish man can lay hold on and trust God for, I can lay hold on and trust God for. Why? Because Christ brought down the middle wall of partition, and now there is no difference. By the blood of Jesus, when I come before God and the Jewish man comes before God, God is not going to answer him before he answers me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somebody say, thank God for Jesus. Before he came, it was a different story. But when he came and he shed his blood, boom, the new covenant started. The new covenant, better than the old covenant, started. And so there is no Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. I love that. I love that. I love that. The fact that you are male does not make you superior to female. If you can pray, if a female can pray better, she's going to get better results. If you can preach, if a female can prepare better, she can get a better result. That's why today you have women leading churches all over the world. Have you heard of Joyce Meyer? Have you heard of Mama Dodie Austin? Have you ever read the story of the woman called Maria Woodworth Ether holding a meeting in a tent, and people within 12-kilometer radius are falling under the anointing, falling in their kitchen, falling in their bathroom under the anointing of a woman's meeting? Maria Woodworth Ether. Have you heard of Catherine Coleman? You know why all of that is happening? And the world is still waiting for my sisters here, all of you here. The body of Christ is waiting, the world is waiting. Because of this scripture, because there is neither male nor female. Are you getting what I'm saying? And I'm looking forward to the day a lady will pastor the Expression House. Can I have an amen to that? For ye are all, read that scripture, for ye are all one in whom? Hey, in whom? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? Do you have a covenant with God? Is a Jewish man superior to you? And if ye be Christ, verse 29, then are ye Abraham's seed, kule brandestahade, and heirs according to the promise. What does that mean? Everything God promised Abraham, he promised Christ. And if you are in Christ, God promised you everything he promised Abraham. Everything he promised Abraham. Did Abraham die young? Did he die sick? Did he die in an accident? Abraham went home at the age of 175. 175. Full old age. Isaac went home at 180. Full old age. Not reported sick. Jacob went at 147. And he was still saying that his years had not attained to the years of his fathers. The day he was going to die, that's the way I want to die, by God's grace. Jacob sent for his sons and released the final prophetic blessing over his children, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Bible says when he was done, he gathered up his legs and put them on the bed. And he lay there and he went on. Yielded the ghost. Joseph also went to similar manner. None of them died. Oh, emergency. Doctor, no. Peaceful exit. Kusha, Brades, Tuba. Such things are still available. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. Moses went up to the mountain and he died there. God called him up to the mountain at the age of 120. His eyes were not dim. He didn't wear glasses. Neither was his natural force abated. Now, to wear glasses is not a sin. And for those of you that are wearing it now, I'm trusting God for supernatural healing for you in the name of Jesus. Our days were exposed to screens, mobile phones, tablets, computers. They didn't have that in those days. But then you can also minimize it. And be careful what you eat. Our lifestyle is also very important. Some of you work all day, you don't sleep all night. You are chatting, you are Facebooking, you are Snapchatting, you are doing all those things. They affect your eyes. Adjust your lifestyle. Every good thing traceable to Abraham should be traceable to our lives too. Can I have an amen? So the man David, everybody saw a man too big to handle. David saw a man too big to miss. Everybody saw an adversary, a terrorist. David saw a pack of lunch. Lunch, this guy's bread for us. I'm going to eat him. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. David said, I'm going to kill him. I will kill him. Kusham barade steba. Big projects. And you guys are going to kill it. Amen. You're going to kill it, amen? Amen? Whatever you call kill, your exams, you're going to kill it, amen? landmark achievements, you're going to kill it in the name of Jesus. Because of the covenant that we have with God. Because of the covenant. Once, listen, church, listen to this. I wrote this for your sake, and I want to read it out very quickly. The consciousness or awareness of your covenant with God through Jesus Christ enables you to live above the systems of this world. The systems, now listen to me, those of you living, especially living in the Western world, the systems of this world are designed against us as children of God. They always seek to limit our scope, our thinking, our perception, our influence, and our impact. In other words, Satan wants to keep you small and inconsequential. Now, don't forget, he is the God of the world. What does that mean? He's the God of the world's systems. So, you can't beat him at his game. You can't beat Satan at his game. He's the God of the world's system. In 1 John, no, it's not 1 John now. That must be 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. Quickly on the screen, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. It says, if our gospel be hidden, why must the gospel be limited? Why must it be hidden? And I want every leader to start thinking in this church. If our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. Why? Why is our scope limited? In whom the God of this world, small letter G, that is Satan, small letter G, is the God of this world system. What has he done? He has blinded their minds because they don't believe, they don't have faith. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The reason we still have unbelievers around us today, in our families, our friends, people around us, unbelievers, is because Satan has limited our influence and has not allowed the gospel to shine to them. What has he done? He has covered their heart with a blindfold. He has covered them with a blindfold. He has covered their heart with a blindfold. He doesn't want the light of the gospel to penetrate into them. We have responsibility under God, in the name of Jesus, to remove every blindfold of Satan, remove it, and command the gospel, the light of the gospel, to shine into the hearts of our family members, and they will be born again in the name of Jesus. That's how to pray. Stop praying, Lord, please come and save my dad. He's still drinking alcohol. Come and save him. No, the grace of God that leads to salvation has appeared to all men. Your prayer should be, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the blindfold of Satan, over the heart of my uncle, over the heart of my dad. Mention his name, and I command that blindfold to be removed now. And I command the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into him. And I surround him by angels. Lord, surround him by people that will preach the gospel to him. Angels will go into action. They will start talking to people, prompting people to preach to him. Everywhere he goes, your dad will hear the gospel. He will get on the bus and somebody will play music, and that music in 1 minute will speak to his heart. He will get down at the bus stop. Somebody will come to him and give him a tract. He will get to his office. Somebody will say, sir, I just had a dream. I just feel I should share God's word with you. Until he gets born again because of your prayer. Can I have an amen? Amen. Angels go to work when we pray like that. I move on quickly. Walking by faith with the consciousness of the covenant is what destroys Satan's influence completely in the life of a believer. I pray for you. Say amen to this. The influence of Satan is destroyed over your life completely in the name of Jesus. Is the one influencing us sometimes to watch those bad dreams, bad films, bad movies, do bad things, hang out with the wrong people. He's just influencing because he wants to destroy you. Write down 1 John 3, 1 to 11. I thought we'll read it before, but we don't really have the time to read it. 1 John 3, 1 to 11. And then 1 John 5, 4. 1 John 5, 4 says, for what is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith? Once we enter into this covenant relationship with God, we become righteous. Get this and know peace. 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The moment you become born again, you enter into a covenant relationship with God. That makes you righteous. You were unrighteous before, but because you are born again now, Jesus has come into your heart, you have become righteous. Somebody say, I am the righteousness of God. In Christ Jesus. Don't join them again to say nobody holy pass. Don't join them to say nobody's a saint. Everybody's a sinner. If you're a sinner, you're going to hell. I am not one and I'm not going to hell. Can I have an amen? Amen. Somebody say boldly, if you are born again, say I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. I'm heaven bound. In the name of Jesus. Don't join them to be saying careless things. Everybody's a sinner. Nobody's a saint. No, no. I can show you scriptures, but no time for that today. You were a sinner. But when you met Christ, you became a saint. Get that? You are now a saint. You are now righteous. You now have the righteousness of God. Listen, what does righteousness mean, Gongo? That word is big. Righteousness means rightness. Rightness. It also means right standing with God. You are standing right with God. Some other time I will show you. The Bible says those who are righteous should also do righteously. That's the challenge I have with hypergrace. There is being righteous. There is doing righteous. They emphasize being righteous, but they say nothing about doing righteous. They call that the works of the law. No, the Bible says those who are. Let me show you that. 1 John. I thought I didn't have time. I must show you. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. And I'll take you to verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, he's talking about he does not live in sin perpetually or habitually. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So there are children of God, and there are children of the devil. Whosoever doeth. Somebody say do. He's talking about what to do now. He says, it's never about what to do. It's about who you are. No, it's both. Who you are and what to do. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as in Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. In the same chapter, verse 7, if you backpedal to verse 7, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. This is it. Let no man, let no preacher, let no hyper grace preacher deceive you. Any day, any day, Adonumoto, Luruko Jesu. You won't get to heaven before you know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, self, you won't make heaven. Little children, let no bishop, let no apostle deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Doeth. I'm the righteousness of God, but it doesn't matter. I can club on Fridays and smoke shisha and drink all I want, have sex with babes. It doesn't change who I am. It's just my body that is doing all of that. My spirit is unchanged. I'm still the righteousness of God. Half-truth is more dangerous than a lie. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you do those things, are you doing righteousness? Come on, talk to me. When you put your hands where you're not supposed to put them, put your mouth where you're not supposed to put it, you do all this stuff, you're getting down with someone today, getting laid with someone else tomorrow, and then you still come to church, praise God, amen. You still want to do nude pictures and post them and all of that. And when I talk to some people, they start coming to church because Pastor Fred is telling them the truth, all of that. So when you do all of the crazy stuff that you do in the name of monetization on social media, right? When you do all of that, are you doing righteousness? Are you doing, come on, talk to me. Only one person came to church. Are you doing right? The Bible talks about doing right. When you get on the internet and you start scamming people of their hard-earned money, their pension. Nigerians have killed some people abroad. You think white people have money? You are kidding. The way we save here, the way we do business and save money in our account, they don't have it abroad. Only a few. That's why they won't send you their bank details when you want to travel. And you tell them, uncle, we are sending your bank account to support my visa application. They won't. They don't have money. The man is earning £3,500. Oh, big money every month. Big money, right? 1,000 is going to mortgage. 200, car note. Another 200, furniture company. Another 100, going to clinical. And then gym is... By the time they do all the deductions, plus council tax, plus utilities, the man barely has about £500 with which to maintain himself and family. At the end of the day, some of them are only able to save £200 or 100. Some run their own business, so they're bigger. They have money, no doubt about it. But how many? And then a Nigerian will sit on the laptop and scam a woman who has worked for the government 35 years of her life. Now she's retired. And sometimes they are also very stupid because they're looking for love on the internet. I don't know what love they're looking for at the age of 65. When they should join the band of those who want to see Jesus. They're looking for love from 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds in Nigeria. And you collect all her life savings. That's everything she's got. Everything, she will just die. Some of them have been crippled. They have been reduced to wheelchair. When you are scamming people like that, are you doing righteousness?
Come on, talk to me.
And you are doing drugs. Are you doing righteousness? Anything that you are not delighted in doing in the open for others to see, desist from it. It's not worth it. When we discover that you are the one doing it, it will reduce the value that people place on your life. You have already devalued yourself. There's certain things they should not find us there. Because you're a covenant conscious child of God, you're expected to live the higher life, not the low life. Anybody can be a criminal. Anybody can live the low life. Street life. Street na normal. Some of us were born on the streets. Na normal. Normal runs. But we decided not to live a normal life. A super normal life. Which is only available in Christ. Are you with me, church? Do righteousness. It strengthens your faith. Hallelujah. Walking by faith with the consciousness of the covenant is what destroys Satan's influence in our lives forever. And once we enter this covenant relationship with God, we become righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This righteousness consciousness gives us boldness. When you know you are right with God, Omo, you have boldness. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come, how? Make it out loud. Let us come boldly. To do what? To the throne of grace. To do what? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the hour of need. We don't come like timorous cats. Timorously or timidly. No. No. When we pray, I charge you from today's expression house. When you stand before God to pray, pray boldly. Pray bold prayers. God loves it when his children are bold. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you are the God of my life. You are my righteousness. You are my very own father, and I'm your very own son. And as I go out today to write that exam, I've done all I could do naturally, and I expect you to help me, and I'm going to come back with results. Can I have an amen? Yeah. If you're going for a visa interview, be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Be bold. It will shock you how many people lack boldness in this life. Paul and I were out of town yesterday. We're interviewing some people. And we got a grandmama to come in front of the camera. Not professional camera. iPhone. She was shaking from her tummy. What interview? It wasn't a visa interview. It wasn't a job interview. Your son is having his 50th birthday, and we just wanted to wish him well, and we just want to ask you questions. Mama, what's your name? We have to give her water to drink. And in my mind, I was saying, if this woman goes to the American embassy, she will almost be begging the consular, please, please. What? Are they not human beings? Let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. If David had not been bold, do you think he would have been able to face Goliath? The tallest man in his country ran away from Goliath. David was not the tallest, so it's not by height. Amen? Some of us have the Davidic order. The man David, listen to this as I wrap up. Your timer is off. Even though lived under the old covenant, lived in the new covenant realities. I'll take it up from here. Next week. But I'll give you one point before we go today. David lived under the old covenant, but he was functioning under new covenant realities. He was the one person I've seen in scriptures that prayed, cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Under the old covenant. Talking about Holy Spirit already. Talking about restore to me the joy of your salvation. That man needs to be studied. Let me give you one nugget of his life. There are nuggets, but I'll give you only one today, then we share the grace. Write, if you're writing. Nugget number one, face your fears. Face your fears. Fear is not okay. Say with me, fear is not okay. Say it like you mean it. Say, fear is not okay. Fear is a spirit that connects you to Satan and to death. Treat it as an adversary. Treat fear not as a feeling. Treat it as an enemy. Say now, say with me, church. Say out loud. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. You didn't say it well. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Say one more time. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. One of our sisters in this church, she's in Abuja now as a lawyer, married, glory to God. Her daddy was a rich businessman in this city. He just passed recently. The man dreaded flying in the air. Never wanted to travel to Abuja, even for his daughters. What do you do in law school when you're done in law school? Call to bar. He could afford the ticket. He said he would travel by road. Why? He was afraid of flying. Let me tell you what. In case I have one, two people in this church who are like that. You are not afraid of flying. You are afraid of dying. You are not afraid of driving. You are afraid of dying. You better face your fear. Because someday you will drive. Someday you will have no other choice than to fly. So what do? You just die on that day? Let me tell your neighbor, say, face your fears. Tell another neighbor, say, face your fears. Tell a third person, say, face your fears. Romans 8:15 tells us that we had not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear is a spirit of bondage. It puts you in bondage. Face your fear. Face your fear. It will shock you that when you face your fear will run away because fear is so weak. Look at its name, fear. Fear is fearful. Fear is Satan's dispatch rider. When Satan is coming to your house to do damage, it will send fear. Fear will knock on the door. If you open the door and you say fear coming, Satan is coming after him. They are close cousins. You reject fear, Satan will run away. You slap fear on the face, Satan will take off. He will hate you. Say one more time, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. When fear comes upon you, say it often. Say it every time. When it comes upon you, say it out loud. Don't shake your head on the bike. Now, don't take bike by any means. But if you have to, not this week, next week, 2 weeks' time. If you have to, and fear grips your heart, now say out loud, in the name of Jesus. Don't care that the Aboki man is riding you. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Because that fear will come on you on the bike and say, look, it's going under that trailer. You see that trailer in front of you? Can you see yourself? Oh, one girl is in corner. Can you see yourself under the trailer? Can you see coffin? Can you see church? Everybody crying. Can you see mortuary? Can you see grave? Satan can show you pictures in split seconds. Open your mouth. Look at me, church. Stop shaking your head like a gamma lizard. You don't fight Satan with shaking of the head. Open your buccal cavity and say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Father, forgive me for disobeying PFE, but I refuse to fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy presence is with me. Your presence is with me. Your presence is with me. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we have the spirit of fear operating in our lives, did we get it from God? Talk to me, church. Did you get it from God? The Bible said God didn't give you. What are you doing with what God didn't give you? Throw it away. Throw it out like Paul the Apostle did in Acts 28. He gathered sticks. He didn't know he had carried a snake with sticks. When the snake came out, you know what he did? The snake fastened itself to Paul. Paul shook it off in the fire. He shook off the beast. That's how to shake off fear. No matter the report they give you this week, refuse to fear. Did you hear what I said? The doctor had given me a bad report before of my son. And right in his presence, I said, you know what? In the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. We had a family emergency last week. And when the call came, I said, after my wife dropped the phone, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Satan tried to take away a member of my family. I said, no, that's not going to happen. Satan, no, 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 no. Satan, no. Satan, you must learn to say no. You must learn to say no. Don't be intimidated. It's going to help us. Pastor, please. Shut up, baby. Get up. Get up. There is a lion in you. There's a king in you. I said there's a king in you. Let that king arise. Let the lion arise. Let the lion roar. You are not a dog. You are a lion. Roar. Don't back. Don't back. Roar. Yes, baby. I love that. Woo! Celebrate my media team this morning. They're flowing with me on the same frequency. A roar is different from bah, bah, bah. No, you roar. You roar. I refuse to fear. Well, from the lab test that we conducted, we discovered there's a growth in your chest area. We don't know whether it's going to be malignant or benign. When you hear malignant, your head goes, oh! Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. I went to do my eye test some time ago, and the guy put me in front of the gadget and put my head inside the gadget and was telling me, when you see this, like, click it, click it, click it. When I was done clicking, he said, oh, sir, this left eye, this result. I said, do it again. Because in the name of Jesus, I refuse to fear. Fear will come. It is yours to say, go back. He did it again. He put my head again and click, 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 click. He says, sir, there is nothing faith in God cannot do. He became my preacher. Beautiful result. Face your fears. I said, face your fears. I said, face your fears. Let me help you with this testimony. Family member of mine had a mental health challenge some years ago after my father died in 2001. Led us to the hospital. And every day we lived in fear. Every day. I stand before God Almighty. I lie not. Every day. I personally lived in fear. My mama lived in fear. My younger ones lived in fear. Until one night. I was sleeping on the couch. We left her alone to sleep on the bed. I was on the couch. She was on the bed. My mama was on the floor. Wooden floor of our house in Mokola. I felt a gentle touch of the Holy Spirit. He woke me up. I woke up, no palpitation, so I knew it was the Holy Spirit. What do you want me to do? Open your Bible to Isaiah 51. Can I have that on the screen? Verses 12 and 13. And I read it. I'd never had anybody preach this to me before. Isaiah 51, verse 12. Are you there? I am he that comforted you. These words were entering my spirit from the pages of the Bible. Straight inside my spirit. I needed comfort. God said, I comfort you. The Holy Spirit was talking to me that night. Who art thou? He chastised me. He rebuked me. He reproved me. Oh, Baniwi. That thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die. Goliath shall die. And of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass. I said, that's talking to me. I was afraid. Continue. Verse 13. Quick. And forgettest the Lord thy maker, that has stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and has feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. Obamiwi, I was afraid every day. God now finished it by asking, as if he were ready to destroy, which is true. And where is the fury of the oppressor? God is asking, show me. Like he wants to kill you right now. Show me the fury of the oppressor. Show me. Omo, I woke my mom up. Mom said, Papa. She got up. Oh yeah, your Bible. Open your Yoruba Bible to Isaiah 51, 12 to 13. Mommy, read it in Yoruba. Let me try to understand what it's saying. My mom read it in Yoruba. We started prayer meeting. On that scripture that came by the word of the Lord in the midnight. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. Romans 10, 17. Faith came. We stood on that scripture. That night was the end, was the beginning of the end of that affliction. Today, free. Can I have an amen? Amen. With no traces of ever having broken down before. I will go out of my house and the devil will tell me, your sister is already misbehaving. She's turning everywhere upside down now. My heart will be palpitating. I'll be out somewhere. I will not be able to concentrate. One day I followed her to UCH. As we sat before the doctor, I'll never forget that woman. The doctor said, who is sick between the two of you? She said, no, you look more sick than the sick. She pointed at me. Because I carried the burden, I was living under the weight of fear. This was my deliverance. I had the privilege many years later to lead all-night prayer meeting on this altar. I shared this scripture. One of our elders in the church was living in fear. He was going through a situation. He took the scripture, hook, line, sinker, boat, fisherman, river. He swallowed everything. That was the end of the affliction in his life. I went to his office to greet him. He shared the scripture with me. What is threatening your life? Face it. Who is making you anxious? Face them. Not asking you to be rude. Face them by faith. Someone said they will send assassins. Go to 1 Samuel 25, 29. If you know how dangerous I am, you won't mess with me. I told him, the last time you threaten me will be your last threat on earth. That you have the opportunity to threaten any other person. Goliath threatened Israel for 40 days and 40 nights until David showed up. Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Very significant. It was a woman by the name Abigail that said this in the Bible. 1 Samuel 25, 29. She was talking to David, referring to Saul, because Saul was looking for David to kill him at that time. Anybody that is on a mission to kill you will be the one to go. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? Norma, because the covenant will kill them. Because you are in a covenant partnership with God. That's why you need to be serious. Be serious with God. God doesn't have casual friendships. The covenant will protect you. I've not just been threatened by one person. I've been threatened by another person before in my life. I don't know where he is now. Some of them have crossed to eternity without me firing a bullet. Covenant. I'm conscious of the covenant I have with God. I don't curse. You don't need to curse. The covenant will take care of them. He said they will come against you one way, but they will flee seven ways. covenant will chase them. Abigail said, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. He wants to kill you. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Bound in the bundle of life. There is a bundle of life. My soul is inside that bundle and is with the Lord. He said, now what will happen to your enemies? And the souls of thy enemies, the assassins, and the people that sent them, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a catapult. A sling. Ataye won pa ubai. That's why don't join people online to be criticizing people. There are some people, they are not even pastors. They are not even full-time ministers. But they are covenant-conscious children of God. If you don't know anything about them, don't do amebo online. Stay your lane. Mind your business. You will talk about some people, you will go scot-free. But some people, because the God with whom they have caught covenant will fight for them. The soul of Saul, they did not sling it out like a catapult. Saul died like an ordinary man. He was supposed to die as an institution. He was anointed with the holy oil by Samuel. Just the same anointing on David. David could not be killed. The Philistines tried all their life. Since he killed Goliath, they've been trying to kill David. Goliath had four other brothers, giants. They tried. One time, they almost got him. David was old, and he still went to war. And one of the brothers of Goliath saw him and chased after him. And he was going to kill him. But one of the mighty men of David, the boys that David had trained, that's why I love my guys. The guy showed up and killed that giant. After the war, they went to beg David, sir, don't follow us to the war anymore. You have tried. Because we don't want the light of Israel to be snuffed out by the enemy. They called him the light of Israel. What an honor. May the Lord honor you. I'll take it from here next week. Let me stop. Face your fears. But go home with this thought. Refuse to be terrified by the threat of your adversaries. Let me give you one dangerous. I've given you some dangerous scriptures today. That Isaiah, that 1 Samuel 25. Let me give you one in the New Testament. Very dangerous. Philippians 1:28. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. And in nothing terrified by your... In nothing terrified by your... Nothing. Don't let anybody threaten your life. In nothing. He's a cult boy. He comes to you, say, if you don't date me in this UI, I will finish you. Tell him, you are finished already. Nobody has ever spoken to a capo like that. Capo, cap what? Listen to me. Now tell him. You child of the devil. Tell him. Are you listening to me, ladies? Tell him. If you plan any evil, it comes straight on you. Because, now you tell him the reason. Colossians 3:3. My life is hidden with Christ in God. For you to get me, you get God first. Then you get Christ, then you get me. Can you get God? Come on, talk to me now. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being. Say you are confra. Confra what? Let me give you one more dangerous scripture. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Ele ilegon. 2 Thessalonians 1:6. What does it say? Read it, everybody. Read it out loud. One, two, go. Sin, it is an unrighteous thing with God. Huh? It is what? It's the righteous thing with God to do what? To recompense tribulation to them that trouble me. They give you trouble, they get tribulation in return. Which one is the big brother? Trouble or tribulation?
Tribulation.
Tree. Before you finish, tree boo. You go to a bulo. A bulole. Bule. Sean. Only trouble he gave you. He only gave you trouble. He get tribulé. Our Sean. He will shun and touch people around him. The Bible says it's a righteous thing with God. It's not a sin with God. You trouble me, you get tribulation. Are you getting it? It's the covenant. Goliath troubled Israel. He went down that tribulation. They cut his head. No decent burial. The Philistine army could not wait to carry his dead body back home for burial. The carcasses ate him. According to the words of David, this day I will cut off your head and I will give your carcass to the fowls of the air. Your words matter. In the battles of life, your confession is important. Don't talk yourself down. Talk your way up. No money in your pocket. Decree provision. This week, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Some of us are too shy to beg. I told you when I tried, it didn't work. Is affecting my boys now. Because you are not configured to be there. Look at the testimonies today. Send your account number. Oh, at some point, it's like that's the only testimony. Because somebody says, send your account number. For the rest of you too, somebody says, send your account number. I engaged in a 3-day marathon fast last month. This month, I've done 2. I did one last month, one this month. Marathon. In Yoruba, it's called biri. Only water, no food. And I seek him for prayer. I seek him to take Bible study. The last night, when I got home, I broke. I went to bed. In the midnight, I woke up. An alert came into my phone that took my balance to the exact amount I needed that week. I needed to pay a particular amount. God is my eternal witness. I mean, that alert took my balance to the exact amount and left only an extra of 250 naira on top of it. I was afraid. Till this morning, I don't know who sent the money. I've contacted almost all my contacts who relate to me financially. Overseas, in Nigeria, nobody. I went to check. No description, no narration. What did they use? But I saw TapTap. So I went on Google. What's TapTap? I discovered it's an app used for sending money, whether from the EU or from Dubai or from the US or UK or Canada. Who sends this money? All of that. No, it's not me, Pastor Fred. Ah, no, it's not me. 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 No, it didn't come from me. No, it's not me. No, it didn't come from me. My marvel was the fact that it took my bank balance to the exact amount I needed. You know me, I don't share this kind of testimonies. Miracle money. I don't share it. But that is not to say I don't believe that God can supply. In fact, God told me that night, it's just to let you know, Oga, calm down. I can supply. I said, yes, sir, you know.
Yes, sir.
No, God will send some things to humble you. Somebody tells you you are wasting your time by fasting, tell them, God bless you. Walk away from them. Walk, they don't know what they are saying. The kind of dangerous encounters I've had with God since I've engaged in this marathon fasting. Now is a monthly thing. Another one started, I won't tell you when, but started. Amen? We can't afford to live an ordinary life. We are covenant people. You must fast, you must pray, you must read the word, you must do what the Bible says. Obey the terms and conditions of the covenant, then let God handle the rest. Stand on your feet, everybody. Glory be to God. Oh, it's been a very long service today. Father, we honor you and we praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's return all the praise to God as we close the service. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings, all the miracles that have happened this month. We have come back like the one leper in Luke 17. Out of the 10, we are that one. We have come back to give you praise. Thank you, King Jesus. The one you helped has come to worship you. The one you helped has come to worship you. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Come to